selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people, next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This show is called Rock the Boat right here on the best little online radio network there is, known as UCY.TV. I want to start by apologizing for missing the show Tuesday night. I've been running back and forth to Newmarket, Ontario since Monday. And plan was to make it back for the show. Unfortunately, end up going out to Michael Schmidt's farm. Well, not unfortunately, we had some stuff to discuss. And so time got away on us. I didn't get home till 11 o'clock at night. And then we had to get up at 6 o'clock the next morning, head back to Newmarket. So my apologies. But you know, Michael Schmidt, for those who don't know, is a farmer in Durham, Ontario, or just outside of Durham, Ontario, who's been maligned and persecuted and raided since 1994. He's been in and out of more court cases than most people could ever even dream of. He's a man of extremely high moral character, and he's standing his ground, and it's been a long, long haul. So they've been trying to take him down so they couldn't take him down with the police. They couldn't take him down with the armed police. They couldn't take him down with the raids. They couldn't take it down by stealing his equipment. They couldn't take him down. So now they've got different regions, York region's involved in this. I think there's another region near Toronto involved in this. So they thought they would try with a cease and a desist and an injunction against him. So the first 2 days, it was supposed to be a 2-day hearing. And the first day was supposed to be the government side of this. And the second day was supposed to be Michael Schmidt's side of this and the co-op and that they created side of it. But you just can't trust the government too far or the courts. So what happened, because it was supposed to be a 2-day hearing, an awful lot of people booked off work to show their support. So the New Market, a courthouse, is huge. I don't know how many courts are in it. There's an attorney general's office in it. There's a police station in it, and so on and so forth. But all these people, the courtroom, which is a huge courtroom, was to capacity, and they booked this particular hearing downstairs at the back end of the courthouse, which has a big overflow room attached to it, a huge room, and with high def TVs on the wall. And so that was also full for the first 2 days. So the government guys said they weren't quite done Monday. They'd finish up early Tuesday morning. So we went back down, as did everybody else, to support the good people, the non-government people. And the government saw the support there. So they dragged us out and wasted day two. So day three, which was Wednesday, and it was only booked for 2 days. Day three, Wednesday, while the courtroom was full, the overflow room was nowhere near capacity because people have obligations, and you know this was done on purpose. So anyways, Wednesday, Michael's wife, Lise, made her presentation to the court, and it was freaking brilliant. Absolutely freaking brilliant. And showing that the Milk Act has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with anything except marketing and controlling the marketing. And in order to control the marketing, you control all of the milk. And like we were talking Tuesday night, you know, I said, you got to get back to the beginning. You can't worry about the damn Milk Act because the Milk Act was put together for nefarious purposes. So we got to get back before the Milk Act and bring it forward to show why the Milk Act was put in place. And while it was sold on the idea of health, it was actually for the purpose of marketing and getting a monopoly on all the milk. And Elise did a brilliant job. You could see as the day went on, the government lawyers and that started to sink in their seats, and you could see them with their heads in their hands and stuff. They were getting, I think what they did was they went, wow, this lady's a lot better at law than we are. And it ain't law, it's a legal system, which is an amoral adversarial system. But anyways, Elise did a phenomenal job. And when we broke for lunch, we all went out in the parking lot. And one of the other farmers who does raw milk as well, they had brought lunch in the back of their truck. So opened the tailgate, and we brought out the picnic tables and that, and or the tables. And there was a glorious spread of food there right in the parking lot. And I thought it rather ironic because we're out there in the parking lot drinking fresh milk, eating fresh bread, eating organic food, and the food was phenomenally good. Meanwhile, the court people are probably eating a stale piece of pizza out of the court cafeteria. It's kind of ridiculous. So, but then they deliver milk to a church down in York region, I think it is. And the preacher of the church got up and spoke after Elise was done near the end of the day. And he brought up some pretty good points. Now, I've seen some negative comments in the chat when I first got going here tonight about the Jews and that. Well, you know, you can always use a negative as a positive. So the preacher, you know, he got up and he explained that, you know, the Jews have kosher food and the Muslims have halal food. And these are both religious foods. And he considered the food, the milk and the cheese and all that kind of stuff that was coming from the farm was their religious food, and they had every right to it. And that really threw a screw into the judge. He was sitting there and you could just see him, oh God, not this coming at me. And And the preacher did a very, very good presentation. But the presentation, these guys weren't into the legal part like Elise was, into the Milk Act. And that these, this preacher just got up and said his piece. And then Marcus, who is Michael Schmidt's son, got up and spoke. And I wasn't in the courtroom because you can't hear anything in the courtroom. It's much better listening back in the overflow room, because we can turn up the volume on the TVs. But Marcus, after he spoke, the overflow room, which was considerably more empty than it was the first 2 days because of people's obligations, and they only thought it was a 2-day affair. It was supposed to be a 2-day affair. But the applause when Michael's son was done speaking was almost deafening. And the lady, one lady that's been working with them for some time now, she's just a mother, and I wasn't sure where she was from, she was helping with the media part of that. But it turns out that she's from just outside D.C., and she'd flown up here last Friday and she flew up here Sunday, I think, and spent the day at the farm, and then spent the 3 days at the court. And unfortunately, she has to go back home, so she's flying out of here Friday, I guess, to go back where she lives near D.C. But she's extraordinarily dedicated. I want to put a video in. I think it was a video she shot, or maybe it was a double shoot, just talking about day three of the trial. It's not really a trial. It's an injunction hearing. But Marcus, when he spoke, it gave, like when I was talking to them, you said, we're going to paint this huge picture, because all the government's interested in is in the Milk Act. And they yammered on about that for 2 days and just kept repeating and repeating and repeating themselves, trying to waste time, which they were quite successful at. But when we're talking, I'm talking to Michael, and I say, you know, you need to make this, pretend it's a big jigsaw puzzle, right? Okay, so you need to paint a complete picture of this. You don't want to deal, you got to deal with the Milk Act, but once you get that out of your way, then you got to paint a very large picture. And that means you got to go back before the Milk Act, which was back in 38, and bring it forward. And what got painted on Thursday was, you know, they filled in the border of the picture, they filled in most of the picture, which leaves what the lawyers yammered on about 2 weeks, the Milk Act, which is really only two puzzle pieces. You know, it's that small, because this is a much larger discussion. So when you fill in the picture and you stand back and look at the picture, you really don't even see what the lawyers were yammering on about. But when Marcus got up to speak, it was freaking amazing. And they said, the people who came out of the courtroom said, there wasn't a dry eye in the courtroom when Marcus was done speaking. Now, Marcus, being Michael's son, when they first raided the farm, Michael was just a little kid. This is how long this has been going on. Marcus was just a little kid. Now, Marcus has children of his own. And his children witnessed the last raid. And Marcus was talking about how traumatized the entire family was. Michael's first marriage broke up because of the trauma and the stress. And Marcus, you know, touched on the fact that his mother, basically lost her health from the stress situations. When you have 26 armed guys coming in with rifles and that into your home unannounced, it's a stressful situation. Now, Marcus was talking about his two older sisters who were extremely traumatized by this raid. And he said they were afraid to go upstairs and look out the window upstairs towards the road in case somebody took a shot at them. They were that traumatized. He said they're still traumatized to this day. So you know, this is it gave a good indication of how long this has been going on. You know, Marcus was just a little kid when this when they started raiding the place, and now he has children of his own. And you know, and he said we got to break this circular situation we're in. And you know, Lisa talked about it, which is Marcus's stepmother, talked about it, and Marcus talked about it. Is that we've tried since the beginning to have dialogue with the government, and they just stonewall us. Because it's not about health, it's about control. And, you know, he said, we got to break this circle. We got to get it going in a straight line here. You had to be there to witness it. It was just so freaking powerful. And you could see it crushing this. Well, they don't have a spirit because they're all amoral in the legal system. But you could see the lawyers for the government side, you know, they have all the free money to spend because it's your money, not theirs. They have a huge staff to deal with all the paperwork and all the research and that. And they're going up against a man and his wife for all intents and purposes, who run a farm, a small family farm. And thought they were talking like, you know, well, we're really important in that. By the end of yesterday, they looked very deflated, which is a good thing, because Michael brought the moral side of this up front. Right. And it's a moral fight. It's not a legal fight. It's a moral fight. And nobody can tell you what to put in your mouth. Plain and simple. And so I'm really looking forward to Monday. It's a good thing that there's a little bit of time. Everybody's really tired. But I'm going to put that video in. And you can take a boo at it. And they stacked up the boxes. Now, we unloaded them boxes Tuesday night. We unloaded them last night out at the farm. They stacked them up out in front of the courthouse when Wednesday was over. And I think there's 7 boxes of paperwork just for this injunction. This does not come anywhere close to the boxes and boxes and boxes that have been had to have been put together since 1994. You go into the offices at the farm, it is just nothing but boxes of paper. You know, death by 1,000 paper cuts, I guess you could say, is what took place. And so I think come the end of this, I'm not going to say what Michael has to say at the end of Monday, but I got a pretty good drift of where he's going with it. And there's no quit here. There's no quit. It doesn't matter which way this injunction hits. There's no quit, but the government side of this is that if they get this injunction, then they have the right to go and start arresting people. Now, I'm not talking about just the people involved with Michael's farm. I'm talking about all the other guys and gals out there that are supplying good food to the people who want it. And, so this is basically a pretty much a turning point come Monday. I don't know how long it's going to take the judge to come up with a decision here, because, you know, he spent 3 days just, you know, there's so many books, right? You know, like somebody wants to talk, you know, this is book 13, tab 6 or tab C or whatever, you know, page 497. And you talk about that, then you get out the next book and you go to page, 1200 on tab, whatever. And this went on for 3 freaking days. So all the judge can do at this point is, and all he was doing was he was listening, but most of the time he was writing stuff down. You know, this piece of information came from this book, this tab, this page, and then on to the next and the next and next. So he is going to have a big job ciphering through all this stuff and trying to put the components together to try to make a decision. But the problem is, you see, why they don't use the jury system, of which they're supposed to, is because this would have ended probably back in 1994 if a jury had been called to make the decision. And the beauty of the jury is the jury has the right. It not only has the right, it has the duty to strike down bad law. Then this would have been stricken from the books likely way back then. So they've never been afforded a jury trial through any of these things. And that's unfortunate. But then again, it's the legal system, which has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with law. Now, I did yesterday at lunch, I was talking to a youngish farmer. I don't know how old he is exactly. Some probably between 40, I'm thinking, maybe 35 to 50, somewhere in there. It was kind of hard. I didn't ask him his age, but he's a commercial milk farmer, and I think it's through Paul Noble, who is a gentleman that Michael helped into the raw milk business. And Paul Noble has always been a dedicated farmer. And this last farm he bought, it took him 14 years to cleanse the land of the herbicides, the pesticides, the poison, in order to get it back into a condition that you could actually grow food on, like real food. Very dedicated people they are. And so this young milk farmer, I call him a young milk farmer because pretty much anybody's younger than me. And he was explaining to me, he's a commercial milk farmer. He's not sure what the hell he's going to do. He's $1 million in the hole because when you buy the quota from the marketing board under the Milk Act, that quota, I don't know, was running about 30,000 a cow or something or more to give you the right to sell milk to the marketing board because the marketing board says you can't sell it to anybody else, or the Milk Act says you can't sell it to anybody but them. So he did an experiment, I think it was after talking to Paul Noble, and he took one of his commercial cows and he put it out in the field where it ate grass, because that's what cows eat. And so he left it out there for about 2 months, tried to let it cleanse its system out in that. It won't be clean, but it'll be cleaner, and the feed's right. So after about 2 months of that, he milked that cow that he'd released from the milk barn and milked the cow from the milk barn. And he was absolutely astounded at the difference he saw just looking at the two jars. Absolutely freaked out about it. You know, the milk from the grass-fed cow was the cream that rises to the top. Was extremely thick, thick both in the distance from the lid down and the thickness of the cream. You notice the milk had a slight yellowish color to it. The other milk from the commercial milk, now you got to understand the commercial cows are punched full of vaccines and drugs to help them produce more milk, and full of antibiotics because the food they eat is not cow food. Okay, they're being fed corn and soy. These are all unnatural foods to a cow. And the cows don't live very damn long. They're just production things. And then he put the two jugs of milk in the fridge for about a week or two. And that's when he really almost got sick. The grass-fed cow milk looked perfect. The other milk was a disaster. So that's why I tell Mike, you got to go back before the Milk Act. And the Milk Act was brought in supposedly to save us from raw milk because it could make you sick. but the milk that was making the people sick. And now this is a sick part about government. This is a really sick part about government is the problem-reaction-solution nonsense. They knew those swill barns were dangerous. And these were the barns in the cities beside the breweries or the distilleries, and the waste grains and that were used in the distillery process. In other words, all the garbage that was left over from the distillery process, they had to dispose of it. So they had the milk barns beside the distilleries, and they took the garbage from the distillery and they sent it over to the milk barns and fed it to cattle. And when that young farmer described the milk that was coming out of his commercial cows, it sounds exactly like the milk that was coming out of the swill barns. He said the milk was white, but the cream on the top, the layer was extremely thin and no real consistency to it. It was like, a little bit lighter, watery substance on the top, not like the grass-fed cow that he was doing the experiment with. And this is exactly the description of the milk that was coming out of the swill barns. That milk was so bad, those cattle were so ill, that they were actually putting chalk in the milk to make it look like milk. So the government knew this was going on, but instead of saying, no, you can't be doing that, you're going to make people sick, they allowed the people to get sick and die from this thing that ain't even milk, so that they could say, oh, look, raw milk is dangerous. And that's where the raw milk, or that's where the Milk Act come from. And it was to get control of all of the milk and the marketing situation and so on and so forth. So like this young farmer says, he said, holy crap, I'm $1 million in a hole. Now they're talking about doing away with the quota. Well, a lot of these guys that signed on to the milk marketing or onto the Milk Act, did so. It was a financial deal. Well, they're told they can't sell it any other way, but it's a financial deal. So you buy in early. And I think when they first started, they gave free quota out. So now that quota rises in price. It's a commodity. It's like a stock, and it rises in price because they only have so much quota. So the farmers, they're looking down the road. They don't really give a damn about the animals. They don't really give a damn about the quality of the milk, but they'll be able to sell the quota down the road for a hell of a profit. So now you have a young guy, a youngish guy in the milk business who's bought quota. He's $1 million in the hole, and now they're talking about dissolving the whole idea of quota, which is going to take him down. I don't want to say the government's not on the up and up, but I'll leave that to other people. The other amazing thing that I saw at the court, last time I was in that courthouse was in 2010, when Michael Schmidt was up on 19 charges, and the justice there acquitted Michael on all 19 charges. Of course, then the government, who doesn't want competition, they don't like that, immediately appealed. Now, I thought they appealed all 19 charges because what I saw was that he was found guilty on 13 charges. So I thought they appealed the 19 charges and found him guilty on 13. It wasn't until, I think, Monday when I was reading one of the factums on the way down to the courthouse that I see that the charge of distribution without a license was not appealed. And this is what they've been chasing Michael around for a long time now, is that it's illegal to distribute milk products unless you are a member of the marketing board and the Milk Act and all that kind of stuff, which he isn't. So they've been saying that forever. We're not part of your system. Therefore, we're not obliged to follow your system. And I found it quite a shock that to see that when they appealed, they didn't appeal that thing about distribution, which they've been saying ever since. That, and the last raid they had on his farm in fall of 2015, I guess, was it was about distribution. Even though they never appealed the distribution charge that was that Michael had been acquitted on. So, you know, if this injunction doesn't go through, there's going to be a hell of a pile of lawsuits. So I'm sure the government is going to, because they're going to show before Monday night's over with Michael speaking, that the first raid on their farm should have never took place. And all of this damage should have never taken place. And Michael shouldn't have had to sell off 400 of his 500 acres to buy high-priced lawyers way back then in order to defend himself. So I'm sure right now, between now and Monday, all of these government agencies and lawyers and judges and judicial system are going to be just freaking out. What are we going to do? Well, you should do what your what law says is you can't harm someone. And these people have been harmed beyond any acceptable level by anybody under any situation since 1994. And the whole idea of law is if you harm someone, you must undo the harm. So I'm sure the government's going, oh, damn, how are we going to do this? Because if we don't get this injunction through, it's going to be expensive. Now, it's already been expensive. You know, it's cost Michael pretty much everything, and his family and his supporters and those who are members of the co-op to get the milk products from him. But you know, estimates on the government side, instead of negotiating some kind of a workable situation that is acceptable to both sides, like his son Marcus says, it was stonewall, stonewall, stonewall. Now, Michael tried his hardest to get a dialogue going with the government so that they could set it up in a legal manner so that raw milk was doable, and you would have the inspections and everything, you know, just like you do with the pasteurized milk, which is dead milk. It's sterilized. It has no value, and it actually makes people ill, not the raw milk. So, you know, the government says they don't have a constitutional lawyer went to the government and wanted to know how much money the government, which is your money, has been spent persecuting Michael and that farm and everything is connected to that farm. And they said they didn't have any data on that. Well, they got data on everything, right? That they're trying to flog you with propaganda on, because they're always using data to push the propaganda, but apparently they don't have any data on the amount of money they've wasted persecuting Michael, the family, and the people attached to that. But rough estimates are it's way over several million dollars, which could have been used in a positive matter to set up a marketing system for raw milk, which they never did. So, you know, I don't see how they're going to get this injunction through by the end of after Michael puts the rest of the information through on Monday. But his wife at least pretty well nutted him already with her brilliant presentation to the court. But what I think what the message of this is that people for way too long have been saying, oh, you can't fight the government, you can't fight City Hall. It's not you can't, it's that you must fight them. Okay? And Michael is an example of a man with extraordinarily strong moral fortitude. And, you know, they're used to being able to knock people down, but they can't knock Michael down. He's too damn strong. He's not bullheaded. He just knows right from wrong, plain and simple, which makes this a moral fight. And he is committed to seeing this through to the end. And he's gonna. And But this is a big lesson for the general public. It really truly is, this weakness that people are so weak. It's really quite sad. They're reactionary, and they get ugly and stuff. But everything works, you know. Like I was saying, I haven't been in that courthouse since 2010. When I went to that courthouse in 2010, you walk in the front door and you're in the court building and you go where you're going and that's that. So we walked in there Monday morning and I was really taken aback because we got this, chain kind of walkway thing inside the front door. I was like, what the hell is that? And then I see a walkthrough scanner. And, I said, there's all kinds of cops around there. And I go on, I thought I was at the Newmarket Courthouse. I didn't know I was at some fucking airport, excuse my language, some airport in the United States. The hell is this? Well, they didn't much care for that, so they started getting mouthy. So I was going to walk through the walkthrough screening thing, and some guy barks at me to get back there, and I go, what's your problem? And he said, no, you got to empty all your pockets into this tray, and then they have a conveyor belt, and that tray goes through another scanner, then you go through the walkthrough scanner, and then you pick up your stuff on the other side. Freaking retarded. And it starts to disintegrate a little bit. Just a second. I got my good buddy Christopher Robin here. Some people know. Okay. I'll bring his ass back in here. Okay, sorry about that, folks. I don't know why that kicked out. I had that do that to me on Revolution Radio last Saturday night. It kicked me out, I think it was. So I don't know. It's a different computer I got, so I don't know what's cooking here. Have I got you, Chris?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay, so we're all back. But anyways, he come out, you know, we had a nice talk and shook hands and that outside. And some hour yesterday when I was outside having a smoke or something, I wanted to go back into court because they're always changing these guys out. And I walked in, I'm throwing my stuff in the tray, and I hear, "Ron, how the hell are you doing, man?" Then I looked up and it's Jeff, the head of security, right? And I said, "How you doing?" I says, "We had a good chat, right?" He said, "Man, you have no idea how much I appreciate that, right?" And I said, "I was thinking maybe we should just get a marker and put an R on one of these trays for Ron. And then I could just, you know, I have my own tray because I'm in and out of here so much lately." But no, this is the situation. I was actually telling the cops, you know, I said, "You know why they got you in all this gear now?" And none of them seem happy about wearing all this damn gear. They hate it. It's hot. It's heavy. It's stupid. But I said, you know, you're dressed this way because those who are running the show are scared shitless. That's why you're dressed this way. Because otherwise, there's no reason for you to be dressed this way. You know, I asked Jeff when I was talking to him. I said, "When was the last time, you know, you saw a cop walking down the street whistling and, you know, 'Hey, Jim, hey, Sally, how's the kids?' All this. When is the last time you seen something like that?" And he says, "Well, we tried this community thing." I said, "Well, how can you be part of the community dressed like that?" Right? It's intimidation of the people. What you need to do is dump this outfit, go get the old outfit, and get back on the street. You know, how's the kids? You know, how's your grandma? I remember cops doing that because there was no aggression going on here, right? And so when the people see you, it doesn't matter how nice you are, when they see you dressed in this shit, you can't connect with the people. They don't want nothing to do with you. So we had a really nice chat as far as that was with the cops and that. We know this is a very important case because there's very little media getting out on this. Very little media. There's a one young guy there from CTV who's done a couple of shots. Even CBC was sitting outside last night or yesterday afternoon. I'm talking to the guy. He's got a $50,000 camera or whatever. And I says, "You know, are you here for the milk thing?" He says, "No, I'm here because for the rape thing." I go, "What rape thing?" And he says, "Well, this guy's been raping old women in the he worked for the hospital and he's been raping old women. He's a caregiver and raping old women in the hospital." He said the worst part was he was raping them in another hospital. The hospital just fired him and didn't call the cops or nothing. Probably didn't want any bad publicity. And so he went to another hospital and got hired and then he started raping old ladies again. And I said, "Well, okay, but you're just sitting out here. So if you're around when this is over today, I'd like you to shoot some video." He said, "We have to talk to my boss," which is his lady, who showed up. And they never shot a frame after everybody came out of the courthouse and they were interviewing Michael and his wife and Marcus. Never shot a frame. So I went to the van. You know, and I said, "This is going to go again Monday, and you're stationed in Toronto." So gave him some phone numbers to contact people and told him to, I told her, you know, just punch in Michael Schmidt or Milk Wars or whatever into YouTube, do a little study on this, and get back here on Monday and shoot some film, right, do a story. But this, the media here is really shut down on this one because there's so much riding on it and the government really doesn't have any legs left. they never had any legs to start with, but they've tried everything in their power, and they've run out of options. They got nothing now, you know? So before, we used to get lots of media when they were driving away at Michael, right? You know, milk will kill you, and this guy's evil because he's giving people raw milk that'll kill you. And that's all gone now. And their stance is getting very, very wobbly. It's a good time to be alive, man. Anyways, Christopher, I wish you could have got to the courthouse. I wish there's some way you could get to the courthouse on Monday. And anybody that's within driving distance of Newmarket come Monday, if you want to see the power of the people, this is the place to do it. I finally met Ira, I think. When did I meet her? Tuesday, I guess. Ira, if you remember, Chris, I had on the radio here. She's a lady from Ukraine who came here and was kind of mystified that she couldn't get raw milk. And she's got it now from Paul. You know.
Spoken lady.
Yeah, and she's a sweetheart, man. And her daughter, actually, she has, it's really weird because she's like a lot of families. Her one daughter that was there with her two kids, who homeschools the kids. So she just brought the kids to the court, and the kids were doing their homework in the court, or in the overflow room behind the courtroom, and getting tuned into this stuff. But Ira's daughter, I said, is this your daughter that was, this can't be right because you got here in 94 and, she's married with kids. No, this is my daughter here over here, her other daughter, which is a hell of a age difference between. We got discussing because Ira is a teacher and, you know, and her older daughter has kids and is homeschooling. You know, I said, I like the idea of the kids not being in the school system, but I'm not real fussy about the isolation part of homeschooling, you know, because the kids aren't with the other kids. And what I'd really like to see, and I see no reason you couldn't do it, is just, you know, go through your neighborhood and you know, the other people that either are homeschooling or would like to get their kids out of the schools, put them together like a one-room schoolhouse kind of thing again and hire a good teacher like your mother, Ira, here, who would probably much rather teach in that venue than the one she's in. And she's just going, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, if you just expand on the idea of homeschooling and make it a little bit bigger to include the other kids, I think that will change things just like the people drinking raw milk. It's like bad education and bad food. If you have bad education, you get up with a bad result. And if you have bad food, you end up with a bad result. So if we can combine the two, good education and good food, then we can grow a very moral, responsible, strong community. And then we get it back. So, no, I mean, I had so much fun down there. It's nuts. With the cops. You know, was it yesterday or a day before? Maybe yesterday sometime. I went through their security thing again, which is a pain in the ass because you got to do it every time you walk out, walk in. But we do that a lot through the day. And, you know, cop, you know, I was going for the stairs and he said, whoa, 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 up a minute, right? And he come over and we just had the most wonderful discussion. And he's going, why are they doing this, right? You know, Michael's been in that courtroom, that courthouse so many times over the years, the cops are going, like, what the hell is going on, right? They all know Michael's just the most peaceful, nice guy you ever want to meet. And, you know, Michael, I was talking about that last night and when we were at the farm, and he says, you know, I was talking to the cops and the same attitude, right? Why don't they just leave you alone? You're not hurting anybody. And he says, yeah, but if they tell you to come and get me, are you going to stand down or are you going to come get me? And he said, this is part of the problem. Even though these cops know that Michael's on the right side of this, if they're told to go and arrest him, they will go and arrest him, even though they totally disagree with what's going down. And that has to change. And we spent a lot of time talking to the cops about that. So, you know, it's better to talk than pitch rocks at them, right? Anyways, I'm all out of breath.
Well, it's funny, you're talking about Michael, and Michael's trying to lead by example.
Yep.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be milk. It's
no,
just
milk's not even, milk's really not even the subject, really. It's a subject, but it's not, it could be anything.
Well, it's funny today, eh? Like, I'm a contractor by trade. I build things and I repair things. Today we had 14 window unit replacements because they couldn't afford to replace their windows themselves, like tear them out and put new ones in. So they purchased 14 windows units, you know, just the windows themselves, just the glass.
Mm-hmm.
They all came wrapped in a styrofoam all around them to protect them from not breaking. And then wrapped around that was plastic with tape. And we cut all them out as we were installing them. And we get home. Anyway, at the end of the day, we get home. They're done. And all the stuff's in my trailer, right?
Yeah,
we got to take a dump run tomorrow. Go to the garbage dump because when you take out stuff, you got to throw. They won't recycle them. You got to take them to the garbage dump. So I said to Tyler, I said, "Well, before we do that, I said tonight I'm going to break up all that styrofoam. I'm going to take all that plastic and I'm going to recycle it." And he went, "Dad, you're crazy." Said, "You're crazy, man." He said, there's no weight to it. We'll just take it to the dump, throw it in the dump. And I said, "Well, you know, it's lead by example. You do that. Where does that stuff go?" If you recycle it, if they actually recycle it, I hope they do.
They recycle so freaking little, it's nuts.
Yeah. Well, but anyways, I'm trying to lead by example. I said, I don't care about the other contractors. I only got so much room in my garage, but I broke up all the styrofoam, I got a big barrel, put as much in it as I could, threw the rest beside it, took all the plastic, wrapped it up, got two great big bins full of plastic, and that's just one job. You imagine how many people are doing that and just throwing it in the dump? You know?
Well, the other part is
and we should we be using styrofoam and plastic? Why don't we just use hemp?
It's funny you mention that because I sent the video or one of the videos from end of day three and out to Barry. I forgot his last name. Barry Prince out in Terrace, BC. He's been on the show. I've been on his show a couple of times. Yeah. And I sent the video, and he called me, right, when he watched the video. And, man, and he says, this is it, man. This is what we got to be doing. And but when you brought up hemp, he says he plays hockey all winter, and some of the guys he plays with are firemen, right? So it'll be mid-age age league or whatever, you know. They were talking about hempcrete. Being a phenomenal product, right? That doesn't mold, doesn't burn, and so on and so forth. And they were discussing the building, the way to build here. And you know, I told Barry, I says, new houses are just removing you from the better air and putting you into a box of enclosed poison air. And, we have to start building differently too. These houses that they build today, these new, I wouldn't want to live in one. They're just, no air, gaseous, all the off gas coming off all of this crap, that they build with today. I mean, you want a healthy house, go find an old house that is actually drafty and, made out of all natural materials. People in the old days didn't get sick. You know, they just didn't get sick. And if they did get sick, they got better real quick. Now, everywhere you go, your food is poison, the water is poison, your house is poison. And then they fill you full of poison pharmaceuticals. How are you going to survive with that shit, right?
Well, that's
you know, we got to get back to I mean, they took hemp away from us, and hemp is just a phenomenal plant.
About 70,000 uses for it, I think.
Yeah, there's no shortage of uses for hemp, and it grows fast, and it grows naturally. And so on and so forth. So, but that's a natural product, which they don't want you to get your hands on. They don't want you to get anywhere near anything that is healthy. You know, they want you sick. So, you know, the healthcare, everything's upside down. The healthcare system is a sick system. There's no money in healthy people, right? And it's all about cash. And the more sick people they got, the more cash they want to make. God, I live in a natural environment here. I'm right in town, but we're all surrounded by trees. You can't even see the street from here. And I see a bunny coming down the sidewalk. And we had a deer come through the yard the other day, and we're right in town. You know, it's good. I don't see much from here. It's pretty cool. What I would like to say, we're just about out of time. If anybody listening has the ability to get to the New Market Courthouse Monday morning, please come, because it's not that you're going to be sitting in a, you're going to actually enjoy it, because you don't have to sit in the courtroom. Sitting in a courtroom sucks because you can't talk, and the volume's turned down so low you can't hear. You're straining all the time to hear. Have this humongous overflow room with windows and everything. And big screen TVs, and you wander around, you shoot the shit, you know, you want to color something, do it. I mean, the kids are there, and they're doing their homework, and they're coloring and playing and whatnot. The people there are phenomenal. And it's so nice to see some young people there, you know. A lot of the people upper middle to older, but they're really getting it together. A lot of those people always thought it was just about milk. They're way past that now, and that's just the learning curve. Now they see that they actually do have power, and they know that this is not strictly about milk. This is the subject we're dealing with, but it's a whole lot bigger and deeper than just milk. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Chris for calling in. Again, if you can possibly make it to the market Monday morning, you will not be
disappointed.
Otherwise,
sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm. They shoot, they kill, they master from rain, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight.
JJ Inc. from Against the Wall, and you're listening.